Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
This is a...
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds, we set them. Form guides, we've got them. Expert opinions, we share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Game Day Podcast from Talk Sport.
Hello and welcome to Game Day's preview pod, Extra Time, with me, Sam Matterface, Talk Sport's international editor Tom Rennie and Danny Gabadon. Now, yesterday on the pod, we talked about a load of games that are coming up this weekend. In fact, all 10 of them previewed on our Game Day preview pod. And we've also got some of your questions that we didn't quite get to during that edition of the podcast. And one of them, actually, that is going to kick us off today is one that's sort of been doing the rounds since Monday. Adrian Durham on the Drive Time show seemed to have a particular problem with people pronouncing other people's names correctly, or at least attempting to. Now, I haven't got a problem with anglicising certain names, but I try, as a commentator, to be as accurate and respectful to the person that I am talking about as possible. I don't think we always get it right. Sometimes we get it a little bit wrong. Sometimes we adjust it because we think it doesn't sound particularly right for an English audience and they might not understand what we're talking about. For example, you wouldn't walk around saying Fredge for the Brazilian international called Fred, because people would look at the back of his shirt and think you're an absolute lunatic. But you do try to do your best as a commentator. I don't know if, Tom, you do this as well, but you spend a lot of time trying to work out how you say things in a local dialect. True or false? False or true?
I think that some people try harder than others, and I think that some people give more respect to it than others. For instance, I find it very difficult to make that TH sound in the middle of some Spanish name. So Santi Cazorla, right? I get that's how you say it.
Right.
That hits my ear wrong. And as a listener as well, that annoys me. I don't know why. And no disrespect to anyone that does do it. And I commend people for doing it. But it just hits my ear wrong. And so I've always said Cazorla and I don't feel bad about that. However, if Antoine Griezmann says, that's how you say my name, then that's how you say their name. It's like the N'Golo Kante, N'Golo Conte thing. He said his name is Conte, and if someone tells me that's their name, I won't go, all right, Kante, cheers, pal. Like, he's told me what his name is, and so I've got to do it. So
exactly.
I absolutely agree that there's a certain amount of, I'm going out to an English audience, they know this guy as this name, so I need to stick with that. However, you've got to strike that right balance, and the balance has to be respectful. And if they say that's what their name is, if I tell you my name is Tom Rennie and you call me Tom Renee, I'm quite rightly going to be furious.
Yeah, I mean, unless you call me Sam Matafarce, in which case I'll be quite impressed with that, and I'm happy for that to catch
on. Sounds quite tasty.
But
Yeah, it does actually, doesn't it? It sounds like a pasta dish. But I think it's important that you show respect to the individual person. And I don't mean to be, I'm not having a go at Adrian. Adrian's got his own view or whatever. And I know some listeners have sort of contacted me saying, actually, it's as Pilicueta or whatever. Yeah. And I've got Gary Lineker involved in that on my Twitter at Sam Atterface this week, because he obviously has been saying the same as me for ages, which is Ath Pilicueta and Arrizabalaga. You have to say someone's name the way it is. I mean, at the end of the day, everybody's got a different voice and everybody's got a different technique and everyone's got a different way of saying loads of different things. I think it's really interesting, actually, when you look at Gerard Deulofeu, which I think we all say is Deulofeu.
Yes.
But Roberto Martinez actually took me to the side once and said, and we were talking about something completely different, and I said to him, oh, while you're here, can I just ask you how you say Deulofeu? And he said, just say Deulofeu. And I said, well, you know, but I want to try and get it right. And he went, you've got no chance of being able to get it right because you are not Spanish and you don't speak the lingo. You don't speak in that same way. So just give up. Do it this way. And some people encourage you to do that.
On that, it's quite interesting as well. With international people, I just want to mention this as well because I find it really interesting. We have a big Mandarin team of commentators as well. And again, it's a pronunciation point, but also it's the fact that you just will not be able to say some names in Mandarin. I guarantee you this. You will not be able to say the names. And so a lot of the Mandarin team that come into here at TalkSport, we're broadcasting 5 games a week in China, and they just give themselves English names. So my colleague Hong Tao Liu, and that's already an anglicised version of his name, he just calls himself Harry. And on all of his British identification papers, he is Harry. But then when his mum comes over and I say, oh, is Harry around? She says, who on earth are you talking about? But not in a Cockney brogue. That's in a kind of Mandarin accent. But, you know, eventually you've just got to come to an understanding of how things are. And I'm going to call him Andy Cole to the death, all right?
Okay, moving on. Let's talk about something completely different. There was a big controversy last week about VAR, even though VAR wasn't really the problem. The problem was the law. So what have you got for us, Tom?
Yeah, there has been a big controversy this week about handball. And what's interesting about this is that IFAB have said this week that they're going to take maybe 10 years to get VAR right. That's how long it will probably take for us to get used to it. But this was not a VAR thing.
He didn't say get it right. He said get used to it.
Get used to it.
Get used to it, not get it right.
But they're already saying they're getting it right, which they're not. Or are they?
Well, they are getting it right.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they are getting it right. The problem is that there's a big issue. There's a big issue with communication. I understand that. And I do think that in the stand, I think it's probably a bad experience for a supporter. And I completely agree with the need to increase the level of communication. The big issue I think we've got here is that everybody wanted VAR. If you go back 2 or 3 years, everyone's like, we need technology. Livelihoods are being lost because people are getting relegated on these big decisions. These are supposed to be professional referees. They can't make decisions like this. And if they don't get it right, they should be sacked, all this kind of stuff. So then we do get a professional company to come in and implement video review technology. And now it's too good and too accurate. And it measures to the centimetre, despite the fact that I got a brilliant text actually from someone inside the PGMOL, which I'll have to read you before we leave, about the one of the reports this week that suggested that the margin for error was 38.8 centimetres, which I think they would say is not the case. But because it's too accurate, people are now moaning about that. I mean, Danny, what would you prefer? An accurate system or an inaccurate system? Or now that we've been asking for the accurate system and we've got it, why are we moaning about it?
I'm just happy I don't play football anymore, Sam, to be honest with you. All these rule changes, VAR. I'm not a VAR fan, to be honest with you. There have been the odd player that have come out, you know, advocating VAR and wanting it, and now it's here. But I think if you ask most players, they wouldn't want VAR. I can't buy into it. And then maybe I'll speak...
Why is that? Because it can see you doing something naughty?
Possibly. To be honest with you, Sam, I think, you know, obviously, I know the game evolves and players have to change their way of playing with different rules and how the game has evolved and stuff. And VAR is going to make probably players again have to adapt their game and defend differently or whatever it is, because, you know, the scrutiny is now on you. You can't really do anything wrong now. VAR is watching everything. But just how long it takes to stop, starve it. You know, you can see players are just frustrated with it, just, you know, standing around waiting for the decision. You think you've scored a goal and then, you know, minute later, 2 minutes later, then it's chalked off.
But quite rightly.
Well.
And this, can I just take you back to this handball thing? Because I think it was really interesting, this, listening to Pep Guardiola speaking with TalkSport after the game last week. Gundogan's tweets as well. De Bruyne's point about you've got to get your arms cut off to defend in the penalty area and all that. It almost, and he kept, Guardiola kept bringing up Llorente's goal in the Champions League last year, but the rules changed about handball in between those two incidents. And it almost seemed like they either didn't know the rules or they were pretending to us that they didn't quite understand it. Would you, Gabs, at the start of a season, had someone come round when rule changes happened, and you might not have had en masse like this many rule changes, but can it be that Pep Guardiola didn't know of that rule?
Possibly. I think he did go... Well, the refs come in and you went down to Stockley Park, didn't
they? They had a briefing.
And, yeah, they had a briefing.
Yeah,
so
they went down, yeah.
Probably shouldn't have any excuse for that from a player point of view.
Also, they've got about 115 staff. Mm. So someone's got to be responsible for knowing what the laws of the game is out of all of that lot.
Yeah, he's pretty switched on, Pep, isn't he? So you wouldn't expect him to not know that. But I don't know. I just, as I said, maybe in time my views will change when I get used to it. But maybe I'm just old-fashioned. I've been stuck in my old ways for too long.
And your old jeans.
We don't like change, do we? I don't think... anyway, but maybe it's just gone too far the other way. I think that we're trying to get everything so perfect now. Yeah. And what's going to be next?
Maybe
getting the perfect footballer that never makes a mistake. I don't know. I just thought human error is kind of part of the game, and I never really had a problem with it as a player. Yes, sometimes things would go against you and you'd be annoyed by that, but you quickly get over. I never got to the point where I thought, oh, let's get VAR in and change all this. I never thought that way. So I don't know, maybe just, you know, from a player's point of view, I think a little bit different about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think I was particularly... I wasn't calling for it. I was never sort of like massive on getting technology in. I was always one of these that actually believed it, even though it doesn't, it sort of evens itself out over the course of a lifetime. Yeah, there's some big sort of heartbreaking decisions that do go your way or against your team, but ultimately, in the end, I mean, most of them are over the course of a season.
It's the money, though, Sam. That's in the game now. That's one of the main reasons, probably the biggest reason why VAR is coming.
Probably
because, as you said,
because
Sam,
people think that you get relegated on bad decisions, but you don't. Because
you
only ever get relegated if you're rubbish.
Exactly right. There's people, as you said, now who come out and say, well, that decision's cost us X amount. It's not, it's cost us the game. It's this decision's cost us relegation or X amount of million pounds.
This is just baffling to me, because if a goal goes in and the player scored it from an offside position and it's the Champions League quarterfinal, let's say, for example, Tottenham are at Manchester City and City score a late goal that to lock Spurs out of the Champions League, but it was offside and should have been disallowed, we're happy with that happening and City going through with an illegal goal.
That happened the year before in the quarterfinal between Liverpool and Manchester City. So Manchester City, as a result of that, ended up going out of the competition. So
we're happy with it.
Happened,
are
and
we?
They, you know, well, we're not happy with it, because then a year later they have a situation where they don't go through because VAR got involved. So no one's happy with it, but it's just that is sport, isn't it? It's not perfect. It isn't perfect. So I understand why the technology was resisted in the first place and I wasn't calling for it. But now it's here. You've got no choice. You asked for it. You've got it. Deal with it. It's the way it is. And it was fans who asked for it. It was the media who asked for it. It was the stakeholders of the game. So the players and the referees and the managers and the clubs, they all wanted it. You know, it doesn't just come out of nothing. But now it's here. It's all a bit, oh, actually, maybe we've gone a bit too far.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do more from the Matterface mailbag next week when we reconvene for Twitter extra time on our game day preview pod next Friday morning when you wake up. If you'd like to subscribe to the rest of our podcast, it's really easy. Just subscribe to this one on iTunes, on Acast or Spotify, and they all come in the same feed. We've got Laura Woods and Adrian Durham's verdicts. We've got Danny Kelly's record book on a Sunday night, early Monday morning. And of course, you'll get our preview pod as well, which comes out every single Thursday. Thanks to Danny Gabardon and his tight jeans. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Sam. Thank you very much.
I thought you were going to come back with goodbye. and thanks to Tom Rennie as well. We'll see you next week.
That was a Game Day Premier League preview show, a TalkSport exclusive podcast.